All right, family. For those of you that do not know me, I'm Donnie Foster. I'm one of the troublemakers that get blessed to come here and cause trouble and love in the same time. Amen? So tonight we're going to talk about hardened hearts. Now I know, being an ex-con, I never had a hardened heart, and I'm sure all my brothers that are ex-cons or even those that weren't ex-cons have never struggled with hardened hearts, and then you can repent and handle that with God later. Amen? So, in the Word of God in Hebrews 3, 7 through 9, it says, the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. When they tested me in the wilderness, me being God, there your ancestors tested and tried my patience. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. That's Jesus speaking. And in 12 through 14, it goes on and reads, be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. So, repeatedly God calls to His children, but the condition of each of our hearts determine our result. Those with soft and tender hearts hear His voice and yield to Him in obedience. Tough skin, soft heart. I used to have soft skin and a tough heart. But God changes that, amen? Since hardening is a slow process that is often accompanied by excuses and rationalizations. I'm real good at that. He who gives excuses rarely ever produces. Amen? The danger signs may not be readily recognized. How do you respond when the Lord speaks to you? Through His Word. You're conscious. Or a message based on Scripture, just like we read in Hebrews. Carefully, I want you tonight to consider the following characteristics of hardened hearts. Thus, the papers I gave you. Those papers, I'm gonna read them. And if you have a pen and you want to take notes, please, by all means do. And if none of these affect you, praise God. And if some of these affect you at times throughout the day, praise God because you acknowledged it. Amen? Because see, again, it's not about me. It's about God. And it's about Him working in our hardened hearts. Man, I had hardened hearts for the cops. I had hardened hearts for the courts. I had hardened hearts for the jail. I didn't realize it was something I could change. All these years later, I got this soft spot, dude. I'll see a police officer now at the park and go, hey, thanks for what you do. And he'd be like, oh, you're welcome. Really? That never happened when I was growing up. Insensitivity or resistance to what the Lord says. That's number one. Insensitivity or resistance to what the Lord say. Do you not trust Him? His word's pretty specific up there in Hebrews. Or do you not believe in His promises? They're in the Word. Are you reading the Word? Are you understanding what it's about? Maybe you just don't care. I was guilty of that. 40 years old before I found Jesus. I just didn't care. But you can't trust Him if you don't know Him. The way to know Him is in His Word. Amen? Number two, refusal to put yourself under His authority. What is it? Pride? Selfishness? I'm guilty of these. I write this out so I don't forget where I want to go. Amen. And the only reason I write these out is because I've been guilty of these. Amen. Maybe you don't want to.
I ain't doing what that court tells me to do.
Really? Where's that getting you? We watched it today. The old boy went in there. Whoop, whoop, whoop. He went out of there like this. Come on now. Can I get an amen? You desire your own way. Ooh-ooh. Am I stepping on your toes? Number three, disobedience to what you know God is instructing you to do. Let me say that again. Disobedience to what you know God is instructing you to do. What is it? Fear? Our strong fleshly desire to do something else? That didn't work very well. I had a whole stack of money, but I still went to prison. Amen? Maybe it's not what you want.
You don't understand. Them Christians are hypocrites.
Really? Yeah, maybe there is that one hypocrite, but is it you? Are you being the hypocrite? Are you the one that's judging others when God says, don't look at the log in that, or speck in that dude's eye when you've got a whole log shoved to your forehead? Amen? Justification of sinful conduct.
Well, she got what she deserved. I just slapped the crap out of her, and I don't care if I was spousal abuse. She deserved everything she got.
Really? Really?
Huh.
Justification of sinful conduct. You want that more than what God has to offer. Maybe it's dope. I was a dope head. I wanted that more than what God had to offer. Not willing to give it up and receive something better from God. Maybe you don't see anything wrong with it. Identify your sin. That's between you and God. That ain't between me and you. It can be. I'll be there to listen and I'll pray with you. Believe that. That's a God-given blessing I get to help. But you identify your sin. What is it that's hardening your thoughts and heart? Resistance to the reproof of others. Dude, I hated it when someone told me I was doing something wrong. Just probably like one or two of you in here is hating it because I'm bringing up something that might be against your thought process. Resistance to the reproof of others. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe you don't think you're doing anything wrong. Maybe it's okay for you. Maybe you don't even think you need help.
I can do this on my own.
Where'd that get you? Fear of what people will think if they know the real you. Hello, that was my favorite. That was me.
They ain't gonna like me. I was a murderer. I was facing 102 years to life. I was a three-strike habitual loser. They ain't gonna like me for nothing.
Dude, I got the best friends I could ever ask for now. You know why? Because I'm living for Jesus today. And Satan can't have me no more. Preoccupation with the things of the world. That's what I was talking to my brother about tonight. Our career, our relationships, our possessions. You know, I heard this lady in court today, and again, I heard her say, I ain't been going to enough meetings because I'm working. Really? If you don't put God here, your wife or spouse here, your family here, and your work down here, dude, and you screw that up and mess that all up out here, something's going to happen and it ain't going to be right. It is not going to be right. You cannot keep going to work every single day and miss these meetings, dude. These are lifesavers. That's a first step to a brother's problems. Maybe you're just focusing too much on your problems.
Poor me. You don't understand what I'm going through. My wife left me.
She probably wouldn't have left you if you were doing the next right thing. Amen? Brothers, I'm talking about hardened hearts. I'm not talking about anything other than what God says in Hebrews. Little interest in spiritual matters. You just don't care. Or you don't really think it matters. Bros, sisters, I got this much to tell you. There's either a smoking section or a non-smoking section. We've all tried it everywhere else in between, amen? And here's my favorite thing to think and say. If I keep living for Jesus and it don't work, that he's told me the truth all this time, and I die and find out, it ain't going to bother me anyway. Amen? It ain't going to matter. So I have to quit worrying about what other people, places, and things are, and I got to focus on what you can see instead of things you cannot see. And I mean it like this. I can see them jail bars. I can see those. And by faith, I'm praying that that mansion's being built in heaven for me. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18 says, our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So your problems are only temporary. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. Biblical. Maybe this one's yours. Absence of private devotion. I was guilty for a long time. I was guilty. I thought, oh man, I can sleep till 5:35 a.m., jump up, get dressed, jump in the vehicle and run on down there and beat a Grable at 6 a.m. Dude, that's a 35-minute drive in the first place, so that meant I had the speed. That meant I didn't even care, right? No. I got to get up in the morning, get up, dress up, and show up to my devotion with God. And I tell you how serious that really is. On July 5th, a couple days ago, I was in my devotion time, and all of a sudden I hear God say to me in my head, in my brain, he say, you're going to get hit in the head today. Very specifically, I heard him say that. Brothers, I got 8 staples in the back of my head that day and a bunch of stitches inside my brain from a 4x4 sheet of 3-inch plywood that was thrown from like a frisbee off the third floor of a building. Right in my cranium. Now, the protection God told me that morning, most smart people would have wore a hard hat while they were on the job site. Yeah, right? Amen? God told me what was going to happen, but I didn't put a hard hat on. And I bent down like this, and this dude didn't even look and just slung that down from the third floor. Now, here's how much God loves me. Had I been 8 inches further, it would have severed my neck. I wouldn't have been here tonight to pick on you about hardened hearts. Amen? So when God tells you something in your prayer life, grab a hard hat. And as a matter of fact, I think OSHA approved anything over the second floor. You're supposed to have a hard hat on, amen? So me and God are dealing with that one. But he was specific to me. He told me. And I chose to go to the job site without my hard hat. Avoidance of corporate worship. I ain't going to that church with them bunch of hypocrites. I ain't going to them church. They looked at me funny. Really? What did the dude look like in the jail cell at you? Huh? I mean, come on now. Really? Did you really like hanging out with 2 dudes on this bunk and one of you on the floor? By the commode? Come on now. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Amen? Corporate worship, family, let me explain to you like that. That's one of the very first ways of the hardened heart that most of us get. Is because we're not going to go to hang out with fellow believers. You're here tonight because of one reason. You wanted something. You wanted something new in your life. Amen? Maybe it's discomfortable, you feel exposed, maybe you're an introvert. I like the introverts. Because I love to hug them. Come here. They're like, oh. Nowadays, they love hugs. They love hugs. Because, see, I didn't get hugs when I was a kid. And when I became 40 years old and God left me out of that desert and I didn't go do 102 years, I got 4. He worked on me and he opened my mouth and he said, I want you to talk to my brothers and sisters about hardened hearts because you're one of my favorites. Just like you're one of his favorites. So on that paper in front of you, look at each one. Look at each one of them. You can answer yes, no, my favorite, sometimes. Because see, if we're perfect, dude, we're lying. Only perfect one was named Jesus. He died on that cross for me and you. They buried our brother, man. But see, death couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he rose for you and me. And he loves each and every one of us. A hard heart does not have to remain brittle. Did you hear me now? A hard heart does not have to remain brittle. If you've discovered any of the above traits in your life, begin today to return to the Lord. Ask Him to give you a new heart and a desire to know Him. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them hearts that recognize me, Him, as the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me wholeheartedly. Remember, He specializes in making all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. If you belong to Him, you're new. It's biblical, family. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Life is hard and we won't always live perfectly. We should do a self-examination regularly to see where we are. The list of characteristics is a great tool to check off and to see where we are and see if we're on the path to a hardened heart. 2 Corinthians 13:5, test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. These are scriptures, family. We should also pray Psalm 26:2, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and my mind. Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path to everlasting life. I'm going to wrap it up here real quick because I know y'all getting tired. After 10 minutes, you quit listening anyway. Amen. Jeremiah 5:21-23. Listen, you foolish and senseless people with eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. Have you no respect for me? Why don't you tremble in my presence? I, the Lord, define the ocean's sandy shoreline as an everlasting boundary that the waters cannot cross. The waves may toss and roar, but they can never pass the boundaries I set. But my people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned away and abandoned me. They do not say from the heart, let us live in awe of the Lord our God, for He gives us rain each spring and fall, assuring us of a harvest when the time is ripe. Farmers know what that's about. Gardeners know what that's about. Pastors know what that's about. Wrap it up with perspective, family. Remember truth. God is real. He is in control. He is a jealous God and wants our devotion. You know why? He's worthy, family. He's worthy. It's important for us to identify the root, confess it to God, and ask Him to help us. Deny ourselves. He has something much better for us. Much better for us, family. What we do to fill is temporary. But God and His ways are permanent, eternal. Amen? So, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to convict myself, dude. There's been moments throughout the day that my heart be a little bit brittle and it starts to turn hard, Lord, and then I remember where I used to be. And I remember, Lord Jesus, that You have given me a new heart. And so I pray tonight, Lord, as we look over these lists, whether it's here or it's at home or it's tomorrow or it's this week, Lord, that we identify because we want to walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with a new heart that You promised. So Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Anything you want to kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy in this conversation, this time, you've been bound in Jesus' name, and we command you to flee in the name of Jesus. So Father, again, thank You for coming back on the third day. Thank You for leaving the Holy Spirit here with us. Lord, thank You for being with us tonight. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen.